Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory,
what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. Thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, I'm asking, Father, the Holy Spirit to come forward to take this study and to bring to us the truth of this word by giving us a better revelation and knowledge and wisdom of it, Father. And opening our hearts and minds to be receptive so that we can retain what we study. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study, and I'm asking this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be in Luke 23, so I'll give you a minute to get there. All right. Here in verse 1. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. You see, there in the end of chapter 22, they had done all they could do against him, trying to get him into trouble. And here in 23, they have finally reached a point to do just that. We know, it says the whole multitude of them arose and led him into power. His own multitude that he was speaking to. Because you see, the Jewish Sanhedrin, they could pronounce a verdict on a religious offense. But in most cases, And this was one of them. Only the Roman governor could pronounce a death sentence. And that was what they were wanting done. It was a death sentence on the Lord Jesus. Now here too. And they begin to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king. And you see, there they're lying, strictly false witnesses, and just out now lying, because when they asked him about paying tribute to Caesar, as we studied before, he asked them for a penny. They gave it to him. He asked two subscriptions, and portrait was on it. And they told him Caesar's. And he told them to give to Caesar that which was Caesar's, and to God that which is God. And he even sent Peter to catch a fish and to get money from that fish's mouth, taxes, so to speak. But he hadn't even come close to doing what they were accusing him of here. All right. Three. And Pilate asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered him and said, thou sayest it. He didn't say, I am. He told him that he said, letting him know that. Now, then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. Pilate, you see, wasn't finding any fault. Pardon me a moment. And they were the more fierce, saying, we stirred up the people. He stirred up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. You see, they're using just anything that they figure they can proclaim and use in order to get done what they were wanting done. Now, here in 6, when Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. 7. And as soon as he knew, pardon me a moment, I've got to get this cleared out just a little bit. Now, 7, as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself was at Jerusalem at that time. Now, Herod is there in Jerusalem, so he didn't have far to go. 8, when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Now, he's glad to see him, but he's wanting to see a miracle done by him. But that wasn't why Jesus was sent to him. Now, you know, in God's eyes, Herod's interest represents a yen for the sensation, a curiosity for the unusual. And this is not the kind of person to whom Jesus reveals himself in a saving way. And we'll find this out in the next verse. Here in 9. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. He wouldn't even answer him in his defense, because he knew also that Herod was strictly wanting to see something sensational. And he wasn't believing in the Lord Jesus anyway. Now, 10. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. They're standing now accusing him. They're doing it with anger. 11. And Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. Now they sent him back to Pilate. 12. And the same day, Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. You see, they were not friends. And only Luke records this special information about these two. Herod may have concluded that Pilate was playing a joke on him in referring so trivial of a case. And on their new friendship, you see, it has brought a new friendship between them now, because they were enemies. All right, 14. Said unto them, you have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people, and behold, I have examined him before you and have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof ye accuse him. These things you're accusing him of, I can find no fault in it. 15. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. 16. I will therefore chastise him and release him. You see, He's won in all despite of these accusers and all the detractors. Pilate finds Jesus innocent of any capital offense. He's not holding to none of their thing. He told them that he'll chastise him and release 17. For of necessity, he must release one unto them at the feast. 18. And they cried out all at once, saying, away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas. Who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison. Now they're asking for a murderer to be released to them instead of the Lord Jesus Christ, actually their Savior. Some group, huh? But it lets you and I know that those who come against us is nothing really. Here this bunch is against him is wanting him dead. 19. Who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison. That's why Pilate was there. Or Barabbas was there. Ready. 20. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. See, he's tried several times. Jesus released. Because he couldn't find no fault with him. 21. But they cried, saying, crucify him. Crucify him. And this is his own people, the Jewish people. 22. And he said unto them the third time, why? What evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. 23. And they were instant with loud voices, quarreling that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. You see, it wasn't really the woman, the Romans, that required death for Jesus. It was his own. Now, and yet, Pilate couldn't give him to them for them to put him to death, because they wasn't allowed to do it within their laws. They couldn't do it. That's why they were taking you to Pilate. 24. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required, because he was afraid of the mobs. 25. And he released unto them him That was Sedition and Murder, and was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. You see, to their will. 26. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the county, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. Now, 28. These women that were following him, it said, were bewailing and lamented over him. In other words, they were weeping and crying for him. 28. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bear, and the fat which never gave suck. In other words, they would be rejoicing for those that didn't have children. 30. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. 31. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? You know, there's been several interpretations to that verse 31 there. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? But have been proposed among them the suggestion that if the innocent Jesus meets such an end, what level of horror is apt to befall on the day when Jesus' accusers are judged? You see, any time and for any evil we do, there is a price to be paid. Now, 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come into the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand, the other on the left. Jesus was crucified between the two. Now, 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his garment and cast lots. In other words, they were casting lots for his clothes. But even with all they had done to him, he'd been beaten before that. almost to death. They quit, actually, just a couple of licks before he would have been dead. And now they're crucifying him and driving nails in his hands and his feet. Put a crown of thorns on his head. And yet, he asks the Father to forgive him. Because he said, they know not what they do. 35. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. You see, they're all looking for a great, great, great miracle. And yet, there'll be one happen, but they won't accept it, even when it happens. They will not accept it. And that is his resurrection. Now, 36. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar to drink. 37. And saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. 38. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. That's what they put over his head. Now, 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, say, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. And you see, he is really not accepting him. He says, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. 40. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, does not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? 41. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss. He said, we got ours coming, but he hadn't done anything amiss. Now, and that one went on here in 42, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. 43. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shall thou be with me in paradise. He's going to take him with him. He's forgave him, and he's going to take him with him. 44. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. 45. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. That veil was hung between the holies in the holiest of holies. Verse 4 and 2. Now, you see, Verse 46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I command my spirit. And having said this, he gave up the ghost. And you see, that curtain that tore in two was also letting mankind know that that was when there was a way made for man to be able to go directly to the Father in prayer. Now, because you see, to keep mankind from going in to the holies of holies, because if he would have went in there, he would have died. No one but the high priest was allowed in there. Now, 47. Now, when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly, this was a righteous man. 48. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. 49. And all his acquaintances and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. We're seeing all this going on. Now, 50. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and just. 51. The same had not consented to the council, indeed, of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. 52. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. In other words, it was new. 54. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. You see, they had to be dead and all before the Sabbath. That's why they broke the legs of the other two in order to speed up their death. Because you see, the way they were put on the cross, when it would get hard to breathe, they could take their feet and push a little bit and could yet get their breath again. But when they took their legs out where they couldn't use them, that let them go ahead and really suffocate. But it speeded up their death. Now, 55. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. We have come to the end, chapter 23. Now, I've got a little something I want to share with you. Starting in the morning, Monday morning, we're going to take Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday in the New Testament. Then we will take Thursday for a study in the Old Testament. Then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we'll be back in the four Gospels until we finish it, and it won't take too much longer because we've only got one more book after Luke. And right now, we'll be going in to the 24th chapter, and that really will be the last chapter of it. So we will be dividing things out. In fact, I think what we'll do, I think we'll go ahead in the morning and finish out. We'll just leave it as I spoke it. We'll be in the New Testament in the morning. Because when we finish with Luke, the next service, then we just got the book of the Gospel of John. And we'll be through with the Gospel. And then we'll be dividing between the old and the new once more. All right. But I did want to let you know about the change that's going to be coming up. Let us go now to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, now again, as we close your word, we are thankful, Father, for this word. And we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And Father, we pray for your saints wherever they are in the world. And we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them in health, keep them safe, and to see to their needs. And for Israel and Jerusalem, Father, we do pray for peace for them, but even more so than that, we pray for them all to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that Israel one day will be known is a land for Jesus. And Father, this land in which we live, that's filled with so much evil, because we have those sitting in leadership that are evil in our government and in some of our churches. And I'm praying, Father, for them to be removed from office and replaced with those that belong to you, that are walking in righteousness, loving you, loving the Lord Jesus, loving your church and your people, and loving this country, this land of ours, and help us to put our government back upon the land and upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, those that are of this ministry, you know each and every one of them. You know their things. I ask the Holy Spirit to work among all of our families, because we all have family members, Father, that are walking in darkness, have salvation. And may that all change so that none be lost and all will be accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, for Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, Amy, her husband Tom, their son Jacob, for Bobby, Millie Johnson, James Taylor, for Courtney and Shane, and Father, for myself, this young couple stands in need of salvation. I pray that the Holy Spirit can reach them and bring them to an understanding of their need of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they too will walk from darkness to light, and that light being Jesus, so that they'll not be lost, and that they too can serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Now use us all, Father. Keep us all in health. Keep us safe. Bring us back together again in the morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, and back into your word. This, Father, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I pray for you to have a good night. And be back with me in the morning at 10 a.m. Good evening now.